Each month we speak with Dr. Rebecca Ananian Welsh, lecturer at UQ and co-author of The Tim Carmody Affair, Australia's Greatest Judicial Crisis. On July 17, Malcolm Turnbull announced a Federal Home Affairs Office, a so-called super ministry, to be run by Peter Dutton, which will include the Australian Federal Police, ASIO and Border Force. Among other things, Rebecca's research focuses on the courts, national security and organised crime laws. She was an academic member of Professor George Williams' Laureate Fellowship Project, Anti-Terror Laws and the Democratic Challenge at University of New South Wales, and she's worked in the Federal Attorney General's Department. So she's the perfect person to unpack the new super ministry for us. First, she gives us Australia's intelligence agency family tree.
National security is, needless to say, a multifaceted kind of issue. So it's dealt with across a huge range of ministries. So we have our two spy agencies, ASIO, which is our domestic spy agency, and ASIS, which is international. ASIO is in the Attorney General's Department. ASIS is in Foreign Affairs and Trade. And then we have the Ministry of Justice, which looks after the AFP, the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission, AUSTRAC, which is like our financial intelligence spy agency, and a whole bunch of other kind of crime-related things under Ministry of Justice. You've got your military-style stuff. The Defence Department looks after the Australian Signals Directorate, so our code breakers, and the military generally, which has a role in national security, of course. And then you've got some other things like the Office of Transport Security, which sits in infrastructure, and Border Force, which is in immigration.
I started by asking where the new Director of National Intelligence fits within the new Home Affairs Office and the security shakeup, and why we need that position.
The proposal is that the creation of a new super ministry, which will have a national security kind of mandate, that's all about pooling a lot of those different kinds of agencies. The pooling of those agencies means the oversight becomes really important. You've got a concentration of power, so you need to balance that out with oversight. So one of the steps in that is to introduce this Director of National Security who would kind of coordinate all that. It has been a bit lost in the discussion because beyond just saying this person would coordinate and have a kind of, I guess, managerial role, it's not really clear what they would be doing. And it certainly raises question marks about the concentration of power and how they'd be held accountable. Presumably it would be part of this Home Affairs kind of setup, but we don't really know that much about that particular role. It's not what the agencies do is necessarily changing, or the way that they operate is going to change, like on the ground in a practical kind of way. It might down the track, but right now that's not really the issue. We've got a lot of those agencies that are currently under the Minister for Justice, AFP, Criminal Intelligence Commission, AUSTRAC, coming over to the new super ministry. ASIO moving from Attorney General's over to Home Affairs. We're going to have one minister whose whole focus is on national security. There's a word that academics sometimes use called securitization, which is that when you observe that everything starts to be seen through a bit of a lens of security. So we might just see more of a focus on security in an aggressive kind of way, rather than just as something that each ministry should be taking into account. There's very little that's been put forward to really support this. There have been years and years of reviews on intelligence and how that should be organised, and nothing has necessarily proposed or supported the pooling of this kind of power. We do just seem to be copying the UK and the US. The government's kind of said this is inspired by the UK and the US, but wouldn't be anywhere as near as big. So they've got these kind of monster national security ministries, which get a lot of funding and are very coercive, aggressive, military focused when it comes to national security. There is that fear that we'll just become kind of a military security state. The other thing is that there's not much evidence that our security agencies aren't already working in a coordinated, effective way. So we're not quite sure what the problem is that they're trying to remedy by creating this Home Office and by pooling all this power in Peter Dutton.
This is 4ZZZ. You're with Brisbane Line. We're speaking with national security expert Rebecca Ananian Welsh. I wanted to know if the new Home Affairs Office will simplify or complicate matters.
One example of how this might make things more complicated is that the Attorney General, who's kind of the chief law officer, has to sign off on a whole bunch of ASIO warrants, and that includes counterterrorism warrants and detention warrants and all the various warrants that ASIO can get. If ASIO is taken out of the Attorney General's department and placed into the Home Office, then ASIO is answerable to one minister but has to go to a completely different minister to get their warrants authorised, which could make it more complicated and less coordinated. This is a huge step without really any evidence to support that it's necessary.
This is 4ZZZ. You're with Brisbane Line. At this point, I wanted to ask about the changes to the responsibilities of our military under this new security regime.
What the government's done is make it easier, I guess, for the military to get involved in counterterrorism kind of national security things. And this has been tied in with this whole Home Office announcement, but I don't think it's actually about that, because it's usually the state governments, the state police, that are out there responding to national security threats. And there's all sorts of constitutional issues and legal issues about when the states can ask the Commonwealth to send in the military. First of all, they need to ask, and at the moment they need to ask because they are incapable of handling it themselves. And that's a really high threshold. And so what the government's done is made that a little lower. But if you think you've got a national security issue, call the military is probably not the way to go.
At this point, I wanted to know if these federal changes are overreach by the federal government in relation to the states.
The bigger national security gets, the bigger Commonwealth power gets. At the moment, there's not any changes to the laws or the powers of these agencies yet. So it's hard to say what this is going to do. It's mostly about ministerial responsibility and Peter Dutton getting an awful lot of power. But once you have these agencies pulled, maybe you'll see it followed by a big push for more national security-related powers. That would seem like the natural kind of flow-on effect of pooling a whole bunch of national security agencies. And then we might see more of a centralisation of power about this. But it's too early to really tell. And it's so unclear why this agency is really needed anyway.
This is 4ZZZ. You're with Brisbane Line. At this point, I wanted to know, does this actually give one minister way too much power?
Certainly gives him a lot of power. But it's not the first time some sort of super ministry has been created. I think one of the most worrying things, which is also flown under the radar a little bit, is that Peter Dutton might end up with a situation where his portfolio is investigating corruption claims within his own portfolio. So if the AFP is investigating corruption or misconduct or something of ASIO or one of the other kind of national security agencies, then that's all happening under the same minister. And that's a bit scary. Like I said right at the beginning, the pooling of these agencies really puts a lot of pressure on the oversight bodies. And one of those is the minister and one of those is the AFP. But there are others. So the National Security Committee of Cabinet, particularly though the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, the IGIS, who's kind of like an ombudsman for intelligence services, Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security. So there's bodies out there. They'll just really have to be doing their job, because all of these agencies will be pulled in exactly the same place, sometimes maybe overseeing each other, and independence and oversight and accountability becomes a real issue, particularly in national security, because most of it is going on in secret and out of the public eye.
That was Dr. Rebecca Ananian-Welsh ending that report on Australia's Federal Home Affairs Ministry. For more information about Rebecca's research and publications, search for her on UQ's website, www.uq.edu.au. And for all our interviews and stories, you can go to the 4ZZZ website, www.4ZZFM.org.au/news.